Hebrews 13, verse 20 through 25. On page 1183, the Pew Bible, hear God's holy and inerrant word. Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those that rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. 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 You may be seated. And please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you that you are a God who blesses. We thank you for the blessing of this passage. And we pray, Lord, that your spirit would unfold and unpack it for us, that we would see all the good things, all the good blessings with which you have blessed us in the heavenly places in Christ. And so be with us now as we enter into this time of hearing the good news of your Son, Jesus. For we ask it in his name. Amen. 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 The main part of our passage this morning contains a benediction. And we hear benedictions each week at the end of the service. So the question is, what are they? What are they for? And a benediction has a number of functions. One is, it is a prayer asking God to bless God's people. But it's also, as Ryan Beese explains, they're also a pronouncement of God's minister about God's disposition toward his people. And so in Christ, God's position toward his people is one of blessing, grace, peace, and love. And so God's benediction is not something we earn by performing satisfactorily or being good enough over the past week. His blessing, like everything else in the gospel, is a gift of his free grace to fill his empty people. Amen. And so I want to encourage us this morning, God's people, to receive God's blessing in Christ. Receive God's blessing in Christ. One of the things that we see in the Bible, right from the beginning, God is all about blessing his creation, blessing the people that he created. The first blessing we read about in Genesis 1:21, day 5, when God created the sea creatures and the birds, he blessed them and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And so that's Genesis 1:22. Then one day later, he blesses all mankind. We can read about that also in Genesis chapter 1, where he says in 1:28, "Then God blessed them, and he said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so our God is a God who blesses. And so I urge you to receive God's blessing in Christ. Now, what does that blessing look like? Well, in verse 20, we see that the blessing comes from the God of peace. It says, "Now may the God of peace." And so the New Testament reveals that our God is the God of peace. Our God is the God of shalom. Good Hebrew word that means what? Completeness, soundness, peace, welfare, an overall well-being that comes from right relationship with God and neighbor. That is shalom. So when someone wishes you shalom, they are wishing you all the blessings that come from a good relationship with God and neighbor. And so that's a good thing. So you might want to say to your neighbor, shalom. Shalom, neighbor. Amen. The New Testament reveals that our God is the God of peace, or the God of shalom. And the name for God, God of peace, is very much a Pauline name for God. In fact, that is, I think, a clue that Hebrews probably was written by the Apostle Paul. Let's look at some other benedictions that have that title for God, God of peace. Romans 15:33. "Now may the God of peace be with you all." Amen. And then Romans 16:20. "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." 2 Corinthians 13:11. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." Philippians 4:9. "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." Amen. And so we see that our God is a God of peace, and our God, who is the God of peace, gives us the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Thank you, God, for peace through Christ. And we find that God gives perfect peace. And the way we see perfect peace is when the word shalom is given, but it's given twice. So there's shalom, shalom. An example of this, and this isn't the only example, but one example, Isaiah 26:3. "You will keep him in perfect peace," or "you will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And so stay your mind on God, trust in God, and you will have perfect peace. That's what God's word says, and I'm going to stake my life on it. Amen. Shalom comes only through Jesus. Shalom comes through the blood of the cross, the blood of the everlasting covenant, of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Have you made peace with God through Jesus Christ? How does that happen? Well, it's important for us to recognize we're sinners, that we've sinned against the holy God, that God has provided a way of salvation through his Son on the cross. And it's important that we believe on the Savior, believe in him as our Savior and Lord. As it says in John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And so believe in Jesus' name. Remember, his name means he will save his people from their sins. Believe in his name, receive him, and then you have the right to be the children of God. Amen. So I urge you to trust him and receive him today, because tomorrow is promised to no one. And so we have the blessing of the peace of God from the God of peace. We also have the blessing of resurrection life. It says that he is the one who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. And if you are in Christ, everything that happened to Christ happened to you. And so when Christ died, in a true sense, you died with him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. But when he was raised to new life, you also were raised to new life with him. And so he raised Jesus, and he has raised us as well. Not just because the pastor says it, but because God's word says it. Ephesians 2, verses 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only are we raised up with him, we are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. And so we don't need to be afraid of death. Death is a defeated enemy. I love how the New Living Translation renders this encouraging portion of 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 51. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. And when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. Resurrection life, a blessing for God's people. And then there's the blessing of the shepherding by the great shepherd. It says in Hebrews 13, it says, "Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep." The Lord is our shepherd. According to Psalm 23, He's our provider, He's our protector, and He's our peace giver. And then Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep and then took it up again. Amen. And He is called here in Hebrews the great shepherd. And that word great is used again and again, speaking of the greatness of Christ, the greatness of the covenant, the new covenant, as opposed to the old covenant. And so He is the great shepherd. Not only are we blessed by the shepherding of the great shepherd, we are blessed by the everlasting covenant enforced by Jesus' blood. We learn throughout scriptures from the beginning that God relates to His people by way of a covenant. He swears, and He swears by Himself to be our God and that we would be His people. And He upholds His part of the covenant and He upholds man's part of the covenant through Christ. And He will love us and redeem us and save us because He promised to in His covenant. And the covenant is sure because it's ratified by blood sacrifice, the perfect, precious blood of Jesus. And if you remember, when people made a covenant, they would divide the animals and then go between the pieces of the animals, and it was a pledge that if I break this covenant, let me be like one of these animals who has been killed. But if you remember, in Genesis 15, only one party went through the parts of the animals. Remember, Abraham did not go through the pieces of the animals divided, but God did. The flaming fire and smoking oven, the theophany of God went between the pieces. And so God promises to uphold the covenant. And even when we break covenant, God is faithful to His covenant, and He's able to enable us to be faithful through Christ and through His Spirit. Amen. And so God relates to us by way of covenant, and we find throughout Scripture that Jesus is the sum and substance of the covenant. Isaiah 49:8 says, "Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages." And so God speaks to the suffering servant and says that He will give him as a covenant to the people. And so Charles Spurgeon says, "We have rejoiced in the thought that Christ is the sum and the substance of the covenant." Amen. And then we find that it is an everlasting covenant. That terminology is used again and again in the Scripture to remind us that it is the eternal God who brings us into an eternal covenant, and he confers to us eternal life in the eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have the blessing of the everlasting covenant. We also have the blessing of being equipped. Now, the word translated equipped or perfected is the same word that's used of the disciples when they're on the Sea of Galilee. They were mending, they were perfecting, they were completing their nets. In the same way, God is mending, perfecting, and completing his people. How many of God's people need mending, perfecting, and completing? Amen, amen. And so God does this in his word. He does it in the body of Christ. He does it in the worship service, so that together we can be equipped, mended, and fitted out for every good work. Again, we say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then there's the blessing of the work of Jesus so that we can please God. Verse 21 says that he may make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. And so will God work in you what is well-pleasing in his sight? Yes, he will. And he will do it through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so there's this beautiful tension between God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Just like we read in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, work out your salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So which is it? Is it God working or is it us working? And the answer is yes, both at the same time. We're working out our salvation, and it is God who is at work. And so both are cooperating. Amen? And so we must begin with this blessing by agreeing with God's word and not pushing back. Yes, I want to do what's pleasing to God. And so we say, yes, Lord. What you say is true, and I want to do it, and I want you to do it in me. Amen? The blessing of the work of Jesus in you, working what is well-pleasing in his sight. There's also the blessing of giving glory to God in Christ. It says, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Wait a second, I thought glory just goes to God. Yes, it goes to God. Jesus is God. And so to have him included in this benediction as receiving glory is pointing to the deity of Christ and giving him the worship that he deserves. Amen. To whom do we give glory? To Christ. And so the author of Hebrews closes the letter as he began, with giving glory to Christ. And that's from Jameson. And we see that in Hebrews 1:1. Remember how it started? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So Christ was involved in the creation of the world. Who can create worlds but God alone? Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, who can uphold creation but God alone? When he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Who is allowed to sit in the presence of majesty but majesty? Amen? Amen. Amen. There's also the blessing of exhortation. Verse 22, and I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. You might be wondering, few words? Yes, few words. Hebrews, you can read all of Hebrews with no pauses in 45 minutes. Now that, I guess, could be a mid-length sermon. Sometimes people preach for hours. Haven't had the ability to do that yet, but maybe someday. But 45 minutes for Hebrews. He says, bear with us. Be patient with it. Receive it, and it will bless you. An exhortation is meant by God to be a blessing. So if you ever get a strong exhortation, receive it as a blessing from God. Amen? Amen. Then there's a greeting of the saints, verses 23 and 24. It says, know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you, and greet all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. It indeed is a blessing to be loved, remembered, and blessed by the saints. Amen? And so go and do likewise. Love them, remember them, bless them, and pray for the saints. Pray that the saints would be restored to us, as we heard earlier in this chapter. Pray for the saints, bless them, and then see the pattern that's given in the next verse. It says in verse 25, grace be with you all. Amen. Amen. And so we want to bless one another. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord give you his peace. The Lord have mercy on you. John Calvin said, however many blessings we expect from God, his infinite liberality will always exceed our wishes and our thoughts. What a great thought is that. So we may expect blessings or give blessings, but God's grace, God's generosity always exceeds our wishes and thoughts. And that's true. Amen. And so, beloved, receive God's blessing from the one who can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or imagine, according to his power that raised Jesus from the dead. Receive God's blessing in Christ, moment by moment, day by day, each Lord's day, and forever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this great blessing. Thank you that you are a God who blesses, and so we receive all the blessings that you have given us in Christ, And we pray, Lord, that we would also be a people who are blessed and then a people who bless. And so thank you for this word, and may it bear much fruit for your honor and your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.